It's Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Thanks for joining us today. The prices we pay for electricity in Michigan can depend a lot on where you live. That's becoming uncomfortably clear to residents of the Upper Peninsula, where turning on a light bulb could cost more than double than in the Lower Peninsula. And energy bills in the UP are expected to grow even bigger with the planned shutdown of the power plant that supplies most of the region's electricity. Federal regulators have proposed a $97 million annual rate increase for customers in the UP to keep the plant online. State representatives say it's a crisis that needs to be dealt with sooner rather than later. Joining us to talk about the future of energy in the UP is Jeremiah Johnson, professor at University of Michigan School of Natural Resources. We'll also be checking in with State Representative Scott Dianda later on the program. Jeremiah Johnson, welcome to Current State.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me on.
Let's start with some of the history behind this situation. Why is the Presque Isle plant going offline?
It's an old plant. It's nearly 60 years old. But the key driver here was driven by consumer choice. The mine that consumed most of the power that the plant produced opted to go with another provider and left the plant without a big off-taker.
What's keeping the plant open now?
So the plant is open under a system support resources agreement with MISO. So this agreement requires the plant to stay on and provides the opportunity for the plant to be compensated to stay on due to reliability concerns.
And EPA's newer emission standards apparently, I believe, are relevant here. How do those impact the cost of maintaining the plant?
Great point. So the mercury and air toxic standard requires control equipment to remove mercury and other pollutants by 2016. And so this is an older plant. This doesn't have the necessary control technologies to be within compliance. So the plant, should it continue to operate, would need to add these pieces of control equipment in this time scale. But it's a very old plant. So the question is, do you invest in this plant, or do you retire in place with something that would be compliant on its own?
And help us understand the role the federal government plays in situations like this. Obviously, EPA is a player here. What about state government?
Well, state government has a role in that there are state policies that influence the power sector. But really what we have here is an issue at the federal level where the reliability concerns is governed by FERC, and the creation of a new local balancing authority by NERC. And these standards, along with MISO, the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, are helping to keep this plant alive for reliability concerns.
How common is the situation the UP is facing? How common is that elsewhere? Are there other communities in Michigan or elsewhere in the country dealing with the very same issues?
The severity of the problem is fairly unique, but the role of system support resources, or other places call them reliability must run resources, keeping plants on for the purpose of reliability is not uncommon and does occur, and it's typically viewed as a means to a safer, reliable path to reach a replacement for the resource, whether that be transmission or new generation or some demand-side options.
Jeremiah Johnson is our guest. He is a professor at the University of Michigan School of Natural Resources. We're talking about a situation in the Upper Peninsula whereby the cost of power generation, electricity up there, could go up dramatically due to the closure of a key power plant, the Presque Isle power plant. What do you consider the best options for dealing with this crisis?
It's challenging. So the options available have to provide firm capacity, and that can be done either with a new transmission line, which is expensive and takes time to build, keeping this plant online, or new firm power. And so that new firm power could be a natural gas combined cycle plant. It could be a biomass plant, but the size and the scale of this facility makes that a little bit difficult. It's quite a large facility and would require quite a bit of resource to convert to biomass. Other options like energy efficiency or demand-side management can help. It can reduce some of the need, but there is a need for firm capacity, whether it be through transmission or generation.
Well, how great an area is impacted here? Are we literally talking about the UP or part of the UP or what? Do you know?
So it is the UP, and what is interesting, so the under the system support resources, the transmission provider would spread the costs of keeping that plant across all of its customers. Well, many of those customers were in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin ratepayers objected. They objected to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and they won. And so these costs will be borne just by the UP residents. And that's a small population to bear a relatively large cost.
Mm. Are there limitations on how much energy you can get from alternative sources like biomass or renewables?
Well, there are plenty of opportunities in the Upper Peninsula, but we need to make sure that we keep distinct the issues of reliability and the issues of generation. So for wind and solar, there is opportunity to develop those resources, and those resources, after you pay the upfront cost, could provide a nice alternative, but they don't solve the reliability concern, or at least by themselves don't solve the reliability concern. So you would need an option like biomass, which is firm and dispatchable, but as I mentioned, it's an issue of scale. The Presque Isle plant consumed over 1 million tons of coal per year, and so a comparable amount of biomass would need to be obtained, and that's quite a large quantity.
Yeah. How long would it take to move the UP from depending on the Presque Isle plant to alternative sources?
Well, several years, I would say. So the construction of a new power plant, depending on the type of power plant, could take 3 years, and you can introduce wind and solar on a shorter timeline, but again, that doesn't solve the reliability concerns.
I was struck here. Also, another solution that's been proposed is using transmission lines to get energy from Wisconsin into the Upper Peninsula. Do you think that is a viable option worth consideration?
It's a technically viable option. It would solve the reliability concerns, but it would be a very substantial transmission line, very lengthy transmission line to solve those concerns and come at a high cost. And the customers in the Upper Peninsula would still be paying for the cost of the transmission line plus the cost of any generation on the other end of the transmission line. So while it would keep the lights on, it wouldn't be a viable long-term solution that would help keep costs down and keep control locally.
Will this ultimately depend, Jeremiah, on private companies having enough incentive to open up new plants in the UP? I know this is kind of getting into the business angle of the economic angle of this whole thing, but what do you make of that?
It may, and I think the incentives in place would need to be sufficient for a developer to go in and to see that they would have a stable off-taker for a significant period of time or significant revenues to support operations for a long time. And those things take time, too. And so this is an urgent and timely situation, and the development process can be a bit long in that regard.
There's been a rather prolonged discussion here around the state on Michigan's energy future that was called for by Governor Rick Snyder. Were situations like the one the UP is facing a part of that discussion, as far as you know?
Well, I think that the issue of customer choice has been part of the Michigan energy discussion for quite some time. This is a fairly unique application of that issue, in that it was such a large customer for this utility that opted to go elsewhere. But those discussions have been going on now for several years.
Are there things that you think the state should do to encourage that investment? Is that a viable consideration?
Well, I think that there are efforts that the state can make, but it's really a multi-stakeholder process. You have to have the customers in the Upper Peninsula, the utilities that serve the Upper Peninsula, and the state as a whole working together. So I don't think there's a single stakeholder that can solve this problem alone.
There is a summit on this issue later this month with the governor's office and other stakeholders. What would you hope would come out of that meeting?
Well, I hope that a clear presentation of the technical options that can solve the problem, as well as ways to expedite the process. I think a lengthy, drawn-out process here serves no one. So options, if the solution is a generation-based solution, whether that be a natural gas combined cycle plant, some combination of that and biomass facilities, how do you expedite that process and ensure the development happens quickly enough so that that we can reach the ultimate conclusion and the ultimate solution in the quickest manner possible?
Our guest has been Jeremiah Johnson of the University of Michigan School of Natural Resources. We're talking about the challenges regarding electricity production here in the Upper Peninsula. Unfortunately, I'll point out we were unable to connect with State Representative Scott Dianda for his take on this thing, so we extended our conversation with you, Jeremiah. We appreciate it.